Hey everybody, this is Angela Rizzo, Chief Marketing Officer for VinQ, and you're listening to Q the Next Leader podcast, the show that highlights leaders in the automotive industry and how their journey helps others go further faster. In this podcast, we delve into the depths of success and unveil the secrets behind the achievements of managers, owners, and influencers who have revolutionized our industry. So tune in and embrace the power of these transformative stories. The Q the Next Leader podcast is here to fuel your drive, empower your aspirations, and ensure that no limit is beyond your reach. Welcome to Q the Next Leader podcast. Hey, we're here with Kyle Montier. So excited. One half of the Asotu crew or the Asotu founders. Kyle, I'm so excited. How do you feel about being on the other side of the mic?
This is, it's always interesting being on the other side of the mic because what my constant, I'm like, all right, so let me ask you the questions, right? And I just turn it right back. But I actually enjoy this because, you know, sometimes when you're just constantly in the grind and asking the questions and trying to learn, and I do, I have a lot of just like things I want to share, thoughts and opinions about like how the industry is working and what we're doing, and then just personally. You know, people to get to know me because I'm a guy out here, you know?
I love it. So first of all, let's talk about what you guys are doing here this week, because you're doing something different with Asotu. You guys are branching out, doing things more regionally. Talk to me about what's up.
Yeah. So one of our core things is that we really want to rewrite the story of automotive in a way that both internally to the industry rewrites the way that we see the culture or even that we act as a culture, but then we also want to rewrite the cultural perception of who we are as an industry, right? My friend Tom Ryan talks about a Lexus study that was done a few years back, and basically what they did is they did an anonymous study and they polled a bunch of people, and they had to rank a bunch of industries on, you know, their trustworthiness. Mm-hmm. And up near the top was firefighters, and wouldn't you know it, but at 7 was a dealer. Mm-hmm. And then perfect strangers were 53.
Wow.
So, you know, that's how people relate to. So what we want to do is do that. So that's kind of the baseline. And so we've always seen ourselves as having the opportunity to create media that can cross that barrier and tell a better story. So yeah, we do podcasts and we do all that stuff, but this is kind of our first big swing at what we're calling a TV show. So we're going to cities around the country. We went to Arlington, Texas first, went to 3 dealerships. We're telling the stories of people inside those dealerships, who they are, what they're doing, the real boots on ground. It's not just managers, salespeople, and PDI techs, and the people that are doing the work on a day in, day out basis. And we know that we can tell that story. It's just like any documentary. You're like, you see a documentary of a band, you're like, that's my favorite band, right? F1, Drive to Survive. Everybody in America loves F1 now. And so we just want to tell that better story. And so we can't wait, because tonight we're premiering that show at a theater. We're going to do it with popcorn and, you know, all the soda and drinks and the whole 9 yards. We're just going to lean into the theater feel. But that's part of the reason why we're here at Digital Dealer.
Well, you know, this is really exciting. So tell me a little bit about what you're learning as you're going in and meeting with these dealerships and telling people's stories. What are you learning about people? Is there like one or two things that stand out to you?
You know, I spent 12 years in retail, so I do know a lot of just like what that retail environment was. But I'll tell you one of the stories that unfortunately didn't make the show cut this time, but hopefully we'll. And anecdotally, it talks a lot more about just the entire industry. But it was a service manager that had been with the store, I think, 27 years. And she came up through the store. But she now services grandparents, parents, and their children. Like, oh, all wow. 3 generations, right, has come through her. And she said, you know, I'll never forget the times where maybe someone was in pain or hurting and they just came into my office. We would just sit there in tears and cry and share life. And like, I'm sitting there being the host of the show and I can't even ask the next question because right. I'm about to lose it, because I know that those experiences are personal for me. And so I think what I'm learning is that the connected story generally of our industry is a lot deeper as a thread than I think what we even tell the world.
Right.
That our industry is unique in the way that we spend so much time together, that the way we have to approach the customers and communities and technology even is so intimate that it creates an opportunity that's, you know, a lot of people like to say in business, like, we're family. And I think it's a throwaway term. I think, like, we're familial as an industry.
Yes.
And the way the stories are working out and the way we're hearing those stories, it's like just everywhere. That's the reality for, I don't care if you're in a dealership, your industry partner, your OEM rep. There's familial relationships that everybody has, and so that's the story that we're getting to tell.
You know, it just occurs to me that people have probably had a bad experience at a dealership in the past, and that's what sticks with you. But what you're doing is elevating, like, people and the everyday experiences that we can all relate to. People like us are everywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think we hang on to these really bad experiences because those are the things that stick with you. Can you comment a little bit on that?
Yeah, I was telling someone earlier today, I was like, oh, so I've been in retail auto for 14 years now. I have a wife, 3 kids. We go to the park, we go
right,
to church,
exactly.
We eat at the local restaurant. We're actually humans, and so many people in this industry are. It's not a robotic industry. And because of the narrative that the media loves to tell around auto, there's documents on the Department of Justice cutting floor that says the dealer's bad for culture. And I know that that's not true.
Right.
I know the story of Liza Borchus making sure that a warranty gets paid because the customer service rep wouldn't take care of it at the OEM level, and the dealer was the one that intervened to make sure that customer's car was taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I know the story of Alex Flores that holds a birthday party for a cancer survivor once a year, who's now had 4 birthday parties when he had a terminally ill cancer
oh, wow.
for a year. I know those stories, and that like list goes on and on and on. And so we just have to tell more of that,
right?
We have to share that story, because if we don't share it, nobody else will, because they're just going to pick on the bad stories. They're going to talk about the major news stories where someone went to jail. But guess what? People do that in every industry, right? So
exactly.
that's I think the commentary that we as an industry have to lean into, and we got to share it.
Right. Well, I want to hear just a little bit more about your story. You mentioned a wife, 3 kids. Can you elaborate a little bit more about you and your life and your family?
Yeah. So yeah, I have a wife, 3 kids, just beautiful family, and they are so great. Like, I travel a lot more now. I used to be at the dealership, so they're so gracious in that. You know, for me, big passion of mine is soccer. So that's kind of my, like, people always wonder, what do you do outside of this crazy life that's work? And I really am. I'm just a community person. I love people. I was actually, someone earlier today, I was just yelling at them across. There was this, like, speed dating thing with vendors. And I'm just like, she had no one sitting there. And I'm like, yo, Kate, you don't know me, but you look really, you know, I just love engaging and interacting with people. But the funny story, to get really deep, is until my sophomore year of high school, like, you'd have never caught me dead on a stage. You'd have never caught me talking to anyone, engaging with anyone. And I really felt like God called me to say, like, hey, look, my vision for you in this world is to see people loved more in the eyes that I see them loved. And so originally I thought that that was through church work, and that work is now through the automotive industry, and to allow people to be seen and loved and cared for and shared with and connected. So that's my passion. That's why I do this. That's why I wake up every day, and I wake up to love on my family and love on this industry.
Love it. You know, what you said just now is just so powerful, because I've spent an entire career in tech, and I always thought maybe I should have had a higher purpose. You know, maybe I should have done something different with my life. But my partner has told me, yeah, but look at all the people that used to work for you that call you up after 10 years and tell you that, you know, you're the great boss, and they still remember things that you did. And so maybe you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, right?
That's it. Yeah, no, I think a lot of times we look around and we think like, oh, one day I will, right?
Right.
But I think we've been called to a particular time and place for a particular reason with particular people that need us to be present there.
Exactly.
And so today, that's at a conference.
That's right.
And tomorrow morning or Thursday morning, that's going to be with my family and caring for my daughters and my son and my wife well. And then the next day, it's going to be caring for the employees on our team. And that's the time and place that God needs me there. So I want to serve in that way. I want to serve our industry more broadly in that way. I want our industry to feel seen by our culture. Like I love the word seen. I love people feeling like that person sees me.
Right.
Right. And so that's a lot of the work that I love doing.
That's great. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. And we'll see you tonight at your party.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, the tables, how they turn. Here he is, Mr. Paul J. Daly. And now he's in the hot seat.
Sweating over here.
How are you feeling?
I feel great. I'm not going to grab the microphone. I'll let you hold it. I feel really, really good. It's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
So happy to see you. You guys are doing some great stuff at SOTU. I want to go back a little bit and say, how did all this start?
Okay.
And where are you today?
Okay. Do you want me to hold
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'd like you to.
You just tell me what to do.
You just hold that mic.
I'm the guest. I'm just relaxing. So Automotive State of the Union started as a result of the pandemic. Like a lot of cool things that have happened. SOTU, I was locked down. You were locked down. Everybody was locked down. No one knew what to do. And I was brushing my teeth one night thinking like, how can I help this industry from my little spot here in this, you know, I have a full service agency and I just didn't know how to help. But everyone seemed to feel better. Excuse me, when they were on Zoom calls with everyone else. And no one knew how to use a Zoom call back then, if that's hard to remember. And so I was brushing my teeth and said, I know, I'll do a live stream. I'll call it something really official, like Automotive State of the Union, so people will feel like it's a real thing. I had a logo designer make a designer. The next day I started shooting out text messages, will you be on the show? And so I asked everybody, like I had Jason Stein and Jim Fitzpatrick on together. Brett Riker, the chairman of NADA, everyone was so gracious and said yes. Thousands and thousands of people showed up to that live stream, and we just kept doing that.
Wow, that is amazing. Talk about having an idea and then just making it happen like a few days later. It's crazy. So tell me now how it's evolved and what things we can look forward to this year.
So basically, we just kept doing events for the last few years. Last year, we formalized it as an official company. We started sending out a weekly email just to keep people engaged and like give our kind of perspective on the industry and talk about the things we were seeing. Now that's transitioned into a daily email and regional events and big events. And so our whole goal is to just make the good stories louder, connect the progressive dealers with the progressive industry partners, and then bring some of the people on the fringes just a little closer to the center. We say we want to draw a big circle, meaning we want frontline workers to be involved in the industry. We wanted to give them a way to do it because all of them aren't going to have the time or interest to read automotive news and some of those others. So we're like, how can we build an on-ramp for people to get into the industry? And that's basically what we do. We kind of build more and more on-ramps for people to come in. One of the things we're really excited about this year, we have our big event in September called SOTUCon in Baltimore. But also, we're filming this TV show called More Than Cars. We filmed the pilot episode. We're going to premiere it tonight. And this is really as a move to try to change the public's perception of car dealers. When you say car dealer, people, their minds go reflexively somewhere. That's usually not a positive somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we know, because you and I know, so many amazing dealers and dealerships all over the country that have inspiring stories, that care, that have changed people's lives both inside their stores and in their communities, all through the channel of the automotive business. So us producing this TV show is like, we want to make something that even if you're not in the car business, you're going to look at it and be like, I want to work there. I want to buy there. Car dealers are good people that have good things. And so that's our whole, I mean, it's a big heavy lift, but we believe it's possible.
Wow. That's cool. So what can people expect tonight when they see the premiere of the show?
Okay. So the premiere of the show, it's called More Than Cars, Inspiring Stories from Real Car Dealerships. And our first city that we covered was the greater Dallas area, Arlington, Texas. And we have three dealerships that we're featuring. And if you can imagine comedians in cars getting coffee, mashed up with Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, mashed up with like a hip hop soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome.
So you think of all those things together, and it really is just a very fast paced 25 minutes where Kyle and I start before every store. We usually go to a local coffee shop or a restaurant that's something there, and we talk about what we're going to do and what we're going to see. And then we go and we talk to some people. We got to do some of the jobs around the dealerships. Like I got to peel some plastic off, which was one of my favorite parts of a new Kia. And we also just hear some of the heart of the industry. We talk about an amazing story of a young man who was homeless, who is now super successful. And so it's visually engaging. It's artfully done. And it just like we're aiming for the heart. So we'll see what happens. But when they come to the premiere, we'll get the screening of that. The concession stands will be wide open for you to get as much popcorn and candy and drinks as you want. And then we're going to have a little conversation before, and then we're going to have the very nerve-wracking experience of releasing something that we've made, and we're not going to watch the screen. We're just going to be watching everyone's faces.
This is outstanding. If we can't make it tonight,
yep.
Where can we see the premiere of the show? Where can we see the show?
So the premiere of the show, we're going to do an online premiere in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So you can go to morethancars.tv. And we're going to be posting episodes there, but we'll do a live, like, online premiere because we know, like, everyone can't get out to these shows.
Right.
But the show tonight and the premiere tonight is really just special for the people that are in the room. And then over the next week or two, we're going to release the first episode. And we're probably going to film some more over the next few months.
That's really cool. So what do you think? You think Netflix is going to pick it up? Hulu? What's the end goal here?
It would be amazing. You know, and when we made the show, we are making it with the mentality of, like, this should be interesting and engaging to everyone outside the industry because that's the only real reason why you can, you know, shift the perception. So realistically speaking, we do think like networks like Netflix mm-hmm. or Apple TV or maybe a Discovery or Magnolia, where we are oriented in that direction because the show is that level of quality. And we think that there's that level of human interest within the episode. So you never know. Or Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Exactly. You think of those things and what a victory it would be for the auto industry and the thousands and thousands of people inside it who know that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying lately, if my kids who grew up their whole life of me being in the auto industry, and if they were ever in trouble and they were in a strange place and they saw a car dealership, they would go to it knowing that there would be people there that would help them. They would go to a dealership before they'd go to a Walmart or to a store because they know the truth of what's in most of the doors of the auto industry.
You know, that's really interesting, too, because I've always thought that if I felt unsafe, I'd drive to a police station. But now I know, no, I can just go to a car dealership if it's open because I love car dealerships. I would feel very comfortable there.
Absolutely.
And we've met a lot of people that actually run and own and work these dealerships. You said something that sparked another question from me, and it was about like getting to, like, oh, we talked about the pandemic, right? And how Osotu came about in the pandemic. How cool would it be if these stories that you're now telling become something mainstream? I mean, talk a little bit about that. What would that mean to you guys?
So when you say like mainstream, I think we live in a social media and media environment in general where the stories people like most are the ones they didn't see coming.
Right.
And now we live in an age and an era where those stories can quickly become mainstream and we see it on social media in a flash, right? Something hits, someone shares it, the algorithm picks it up, and all of a sudden the thing that was just hovering along at one level, all of a sudden we see that J curve and it spikes out of nowhere. That would mean a lot to us. And I think it would mean a lot to a lot of dealers and a lot of industry partners who truly put their heart and soul into this industry because it has become a part of them. And we're not also talking about a small amount of people. It is the largest retail industry in the country. And we're talking about millions of people who it touches directly, not, you know, aside from the people who are car enthusiasts, we're talking about people who work in it. And I happen to think when you have this level of belief and conviction in every single corner of every single town all across the country, that sounds like something that can really organically, once you just trigger that little fire, that could take off really quickly. And it would mean the world because we would know that the truth that we see and know every day all of a sudden becomes something other people can actually attach to and embrace.
I mean, you guys could become the Billie Eilish of the automotive industry. What did she, like, release a song on YouTube?
Yes.
And then Yeah. Now, I can't go a day without listening to one of her songs, right? She's amazing.
I've never made that connection, but okay. I need to wear some more makeup to get there. But Billie Eilish, but she's definitely a creative, right?
She is a creative. She is. Okay, last question. I want to learn a little bit more about you.
Okay.
Tell me about who Paul is, family, kids, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you answer the question of, tell me a little bit more about yourself?
Okay, so I would definitely say I'm a family man and a businessman, entrepreneur through and through. I got married. My wife and I are about to celebrate our 21st anniversary. We have four kids, 14 years, or 16, 14, 11, and 3.
Wow.
So we run hard. but my family, so we got married in 2002, and I started my business in 2003. First time as an entrepreneur, I bought Small Business for Dummies. And that was back when you had to buy QuickBooks on a CD, right? So the CD got delivered and I put it in my computer and I realized I knew nothing about business accounting. And just the entrepreneurial life is trying things and failing and trying and failing and trying and failing. And my family has really embraced this element of like, we try new things, we move forward, we stick together. So I'm very tight with my family. I bring my family with these trips as much as I can. My wife is with me today. Their kids are at home with my mother-in-law, so we had a little bit of a vacation, but we roll as a family, and they're very vested in what we're doing. And I'm an artist, I'm a musician, and so like the fact that I was born into an era where the business environment values creativity, and there are means to communicate and express and bring people together. I love bringing people together around meaningful ideas. I love it. And so I just feel incredibly blessed that my family can be a part of that and that I was born into a day and age when the technology and the speed of information and transformation can actually match my skill set. Because if I was born, back in the 1500s, I don't know that I have the skill set to do all those things then, because I would have been born in somewhere in that lower caste, right?
You and me both.
But this industry, auto industry, is like it has no ceiling. It also has no floor. And so, our family, entrepreneurs through and through, first generation though, so we're still learning. And it's fun to pass that along to the kids.
I love it.
My son is 16 and now he works in Osoto. He's an editor. He graduated high school at 16 and now he's making content and loving it.
Wow, what a great story. Thank you so much for spending time with me today and sharing a little bit about yourself and about all the great things that you're doing at Osoto.
It was great to be here. Thank you so much.
If you've made it this far, you've listened to the entire episode, and for that, we want to thank you. We hoped you enjoyed this episode, and if so, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you next time.